Man, what a great word to, or song to lead into the word we're going to be looking at tonight. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 119. We're walking through this psalm as it extols the beauty, the glory, the fullness of the Word of God. And the psalmist is writing about how it is effective and how this word sustains. In this particular section we're going to be looking at, verses 49 through 56, extols the encouragement and the strength that God's word gives us. We all have difficulties, we all have troubles, we all have circumstances that just at times make us want to give up and feel like that we're not accomplishing, or it seems like everything is working against us. And man, there are times when it's just a real struggle to keep pushing forward. As I'm reading about this and just thinking about this, man, I think of Ainsley and all the folks at basic training. I mean, they're exhausted. They are going from 4 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock at night. And man, they're running, they're doing, got blisters on their feet, it's hot, they're tired, they're always looking for a time to sleep. Now, hopefully this won't get her in trouble, but she wrote in a letter last week that they were practicing their firing stances. You know, they got different positions you get in to fire your weapon. Well, they were practicing the prone position where you were laying down on the ground and sighting down, and she said, Dad, she wrote in her letter, said, I was laying over on my rifle and I fell flat asleep. Said my cheek was on my butt stock and it looked like I was aiming downrange, you know, so they didn't catch me before I woke up. Then they were doing medical training, you know, and every soldier gets basic medical training, how to apply a tourniquet and that kind of stuff. And she said, well, my partner was saving my life, you know, and I was laid on the ground. And she said, I laid down there and passed out asleep. But as soon as she tightened that tourniquet up on my leg, I woke up. There are times when you're just exhausted. Sometimes it's physical exhaustion. Sometimes it's emotional exhaustion. Sometimes it's spiritual exhaustion. And man, you're struggling and you're trying to figure out, how am I going to push through this? And I end every letter that I write to her, I end with this. Stay strong, stay positive, and keep pushing forward. And where does that strength come from? How do you draw from that? And I've been encouraging her in her walk with the Lord. I'm excited that she's going to church services every Sunday and she's enjoying the worship. But there are times when it just feels like, how am I going to keep going forward? How am I going to keep pushing forward? How am I going to get through this trouble? How am I going to get through this weight that's on me? How can I carry what God has allowed to be put upon me, or allowing me to experience? Well, the psalmist is writing in these words how much the Word of God is our encouragement and our strength. Because God will always be faithful to His Word. And so we need to be reminding ourselves, and we need to be devouring the Word of God. And in those times when things are difficult, it's our first response is just kind of pull away from God, pull away from church, pull away from the Bible, and just have a little pity party for a while. But the psalmist says, no, don't do that. Man, run to God's Word. So if you would stand with me, we'll read this section of Psalm 119, beginning in verse 49, and then we'll kind of parse it out a little bit. Remember the word to your servant in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has preserved me. The arrogant utterly deride me, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I have remembered your ordinances from of old, O Lord, and comfort myself. Burning indignation has seized me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes are my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. O Lord, I remember your name in the night, and I keep your law. This has become mine, that I observe your precepts. You may be seated. So he's writing about this great frustration he has, this great opposition that he has. There are people that are deriding him. In other words, they're talking bad about him. They're looking for anything they can to get him on. They're just constantly hounding him, constantly griping, constantly after him. And he just feels the pressure of people constantly trying to tear him down. And so he's expressing his frustration, but he's also expressing the great hope and the great comfort that he gets from God's word. So he begins in this section. It says, remember the word to your servant. Now, what's he talking about there? What's the word to God's servants? It's the Bible. This is all to us. He says, God, remember your word to your servant. In other words, God, remember your promises, because I'm counting on them. Remember what your word says you will do. Remember how your word says you'll always be there. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. That the battle is not ours, that it's yours. God, remember your word to your servant. Remember what you have promised. Remember what you have taught, in which you have made me hope. He says, look, you've convinced me that your word is true, and I've put all my hope and all my trust in it. So God, remember it. God, remember your promises. And I'm going to be faithful to try and keep your word, and I'm trusting that you are going to be faithful to what you said you'll do. And so in this time of struggle, he says, God, okay, this your word has said that you'll always be with me. Your word has said how I'm supposed to live, how I'm supposed to respond, that I'm not supposed to pay back evil for evil, but always repay evil with good. God, I'm going to continue to try and do that, but you've got to do your part, okay? I'm trusting you. I'm counting on you because you've made me hope in your word. I'm going to apply it. I'm going to walk by it. And you've got to keep your word. You've got to keep your end of the bargain. And he says that because he knows it. Look at what he says. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived me. My translation says that it has revived me, but it could be that it's preserved me. Basically, what it says is, God, this is my comfort. This is what comforts me in my affliction, that your word has gotten me this far. God, you've gotten me this far. I can't expect that you're going to let me down now. God, you've been faithful to this point. I can't fathom that you would be unfaithful now. So this is my comfort in my affliction, that your word's got me thus far. I've been obedient. I've been putting it into practice. And God, you've got me here, and you're not going to let me go now. You're not going to be unfaithful now. And that comforts him. And guys, that's one of the things that we've always got to remember. And it's hard because I deal with it myself. I mean, I've told you before, there are times when I struggle with depression. And I deal with people who struggle with depression. People come and they're having hard times. And I keep reminding them, remind yourself of the truth. Remind yourself of the truth. Don't worry about what you feel. Don't even worry about what you think. Don't listen to that. Remind yourself of the truth. I got a call from a pastor friend of mine, a young pastor friend of mine. Him and his wife don't have any children yet, and they had a miscarriage a while back, a few years ago, and he called. Man, he was just all tore up this week because they weren't really trying to get pregnant, but she got pregnant. And she'd been pregnant, and she'd made it for about 6 weeks. Went back to the doctor. Baby had died, and so he was just broken. He said, man, how do I deal with this? How do I walk through this? And all I could tell him is, man, I don't know. I wish I could tell you, if you'll do this and this, it'll get better. I said, but what I do know is this has nothing to do with God's love for you. God loves you, and God's sovereign over all of this, and God's still in control, and God is still faithful. This has nothing to do with how much God loves you or how faithful God is. God is that. And you need to keep reminding yourself of that. God is faithful. God loves us. God is going to get us through this. God's grace is sufficient. Now, it doesn't mean that it won't be hard. It doesn't mean that you won't mourn. And I encourage you, hey, you need to mourn because it is a loss. And you need to weep with your wife. And it's okay. But in this time of affliction, the most important thing is to constantly remind yourself of the truth of who God is. Because at times like this, we start feeling like, well, God doesn't love us. God's just playing some cruel trick, you know. We weren't trying, and he lets us get pregnant, and now he takes the baby away, and he must be really angry with me. Man, that's so far from the truth. Our feelings lie to us all the time. And so we need to remind ourselves constantly of the truth of God's word and the truth of who he is, because that's our comfort in affliction. And we need to hold on to that, because God has got us this far. God's not going to change his character just because something has happened. He's still going to be God. And so he says, this is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has preserved me or gotten me this far. The arrogant utterly deride me. They're constantly over me. They're constantly trying to beat me down. Yet I do not turn aside from your law. God, I want to throat punch them. God, I want to take it matters in my own hands. God, I want to get them, but I'm not going to do that. They're constantly hounding me. They're constantly after me. They're constantly yakking. They're constantly backbiting. They're constantly trying to stir up trouble. But God, I'm going to handle it like your word says. I'm not going to turn away from your law. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to tell you, as a pastor, I've been there. I've been there when there's people that you really want to throat punch because they're trying to stir up a lot of trouble in the church. Man, you just want to go and give them what for and dress them down in front of everybody. But you can't do that. Because God says he'll handle those people. It's our responsibility to never repay evil with evil. Always repay evil with good. Kill them with kindness. It says, look, love them in return and heap coal on their heads. Man, let God deal with them. He's much better at it than we are, I promise you. And so that's what the psalmist is saying. Look, I'm not going to take this into my own hands. I'm going to let you handle it. God, I'm just going to keep doing what I know is right. I'm going to keep living under the authority of your word. I'm going to keep at it. And God, you just do what you do, and I'll let you handle it. And verse 52 says, I have remembered your ordinances from of old, O Lord, and comfort myself. Again, reminding ourselves of the truth of God's word. He says, I remembered your word of old, and I comfort myself with it. Man, there are times, that's why it's so important that you study your Bible. It's so important that you hide Scripture in your heart, that you memorize some passages that talk about the faithfulness of God, the power of God, the love of God. Because in those times when it seems like everything's piling up and everything's going wrong and everybody's after you and it just feels like God has abandoned you, that's those times when you need to comfort yourself with the truth. Remember God's word. Recite God's word. Combat those feelings and those negative thoughts and those things that you know aren't true about God, that he's forgotten you and abandoned you and doesn't care about you anymore, he's not listening. All of that is a lie. And that's what we keep repeating to ourselves. We keep repeating the lie till we start believing it. He says, no, I'm going to comfort myself with your word. I'm going to combat the negative thoughts with the truth of who you are. The truth of your word. I'm going to combat these negative feelings with the truth of your character, that you are loving, you are kind, and your loving kindness is always extended towards us. And so we need to constantly be filling up on Scripture. So in those times of depression, those times of anxiety, those times when the world just piles up, our circumstances, it's not an internal thing, it's an external pressure or difficulty, it's the Word of God that will strengthen us and comfort us in those times. So we need to be able to recite those and comfort ourselves with the truth of God's Word. And he declares, he says, verse 53, he's honest, says, burning indignation has seized me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Now, to forsake it means that you know it and you choose not to do it. He says, these are supposed to be godly people that are deriding me. These are people that are supposed to be on my side. These are people that are supposed to be for me but have turned against me. And he says, they know your law, but yet they're not walking in it. They've chosen to neglect it. They've chosen to forsake it. They've chosen to go their own way and go against what your word says. And there, man, and he says, man, it's a burning indignation. God, I'm struggling here. I almost want to hate them. I'm going to tell you, there's from a pastor's perspective, there's nothing that causes a greater indignation and a want to fight and a want to just get your hands on somebody is when somebody starts trying to tear up the church. Man, I've had people say they were mad at me, so they were going, oh, we're going to leave, and we're going to take as many folks as we can with us. Man, you just want to beat them down. Why are you going to be such a jerk? But God says we're supposed to love those people. And so then you've got to constantly be reminding yourself, God, help me love them. Help me pray for them. Help me do some act of kindness towards them. God, don't let my heart harden towards them. Praise the Lord. A couple of months later, got a letter from them and apologizing. And they, you know, because I was kind and God gave God room to deal with them, they had repented from what they had done and the things that they said. And I count them as friends. But man, it could have turned out a lot different if I'd have just went with what I wanted to do. You know? But God's faithful. And we need to let God be God. And even though we burn within this indignation, and it is a righteous indignation, man, we need to get angry when somebody's trying to tear up the unity of the church and trying to destroy the church. This is God's bride, and they're acting against God's people. And we need to get upset about that, but we've got to be careful. We can't let our righteous indignation become a hatred or a desire to destroy. Because that's not how God works. And so he's expressing his indignation. He's expressing his frustration because they know your word and they're forsaking it. They're choosing to go the other way. He says, so I'm just going to focus on your word. Your statutes are my songs, the joy of my heart. Your word. Man, I'm able to praise you in the middle of the storm and sing my hallelujah because your word is what brings joy, not people. Your word. And I know your word is true, and you'll always stay faithful to your promises. And God, you've got this. And God, you're going to do what you said you'll do. And Lord, you're able to change the hearts of people. So God, I'm going to praise you in the middle of the storm. I'm going to sing my hallelujah when in the presence of my enemies. I can do that because we serve a God who's sovereign over it all, and he will always, always be faithful to his word. So he continues on. It says, your statutes are my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Now, he's reminding himself that, look, this is only a short time. My life is just a vapor, and I'm only going to have to deal with these idiots for a little while. I'm going to only have to deal with these for just a short period of time, and then I'm going to enter into eternity. It's all going to be good. I'm just passing through. This isn't what everything's all about. Being liked by everyone here is not my main goal. He says, I'm pushing forward to a place called heaven in the presence of God where sin won't be there anymore. There won't be any more foolishness from people. There won't even be any more foolishness from me. All that'll be done away with. And that's where I got to keep my eye. Keep your eye on the prize of the high calling that's set before you. Now, high calling is not just to live a good life here. It's to move into heaven, that high calling. That's our goal. So we need to make sure that we keep the focus where it needs to be, that this is just a time of passing through, and these are just short, temporary trials and troubles and difficulties. Then verse 55, he says, O Lord, I remember your name in the night and keep your law. Now, what does the night represent here? Now, sometimes it's when he says, I remember your name in the night, when you're going through difficult times, do you ever have problems sleeping? When finances get tight or there's a relationship struggle going on or you know that somebody's trying to harm your reputation or they're after you and they're doing stuff. Maybe it's somebody at work that's trying to tear down your reputation with a boss or make you look bad or get you fired. You know it's happening and you're trying to figure out, okay, how do I live like a godly person and how do I deal with this situation and this person? You ever lose sleep over that kind of stuff? Man, I do. I've lost a lot of sleep as a pastor. It says in the night, in those sleepless nights, when our mind begins to wander, he says, I focus on your name. Now, what does the name of God have to do with anything? It's his character. The names of God in the Bible describe his character. So I focus on your character, not on all these troubles and all these problems. When I'm starting to get anxious and I'm starting to lose sleep, God, I just focus on your name. It's also a time when things are unknown. You go out into the woods during the daytime, it ain't no big deal. But you get caught out there at night, every sound's a monster. You know, every crack of a stick or something is a coyote or a bear or something, you know. It's a time of uncertainty. It's a time where fear is elevated and anxiety is elevated. So in those times, he says, when I'm fearful and this fear begins to rise up because of what I'm going through or what's happening, God, this struggle is going on and the anxiety is really starting to boil up. He says, I start focusing on your name. God loves me. God will never leave me or forsake me. God's going to take care of this. I've just got to be faithful and let him do what he does when he wants to do it. And let me just, don't derail what he's got planned. Let me just keep plugging along, keep honoring him. Let me keep honoring him. Let me just focus on God. Not on these problems, not on these troubles, not on these people. Let me focus on God and just let him deal with all this other stuff. He says, I focus on your name at night and keep your law. So I can just keep going. Anxiety causes us to take shortcuts or think we've got to take matters into our own hand. It says, this has become mine, that I observe your precepts. What does it mean when he said, this has become mine? Yeah, I own it. This is how I live my life. This is how I deal with problems. This is how I deal with those EGRs. This is how I deal with anxiety. This is how I struggle. It says, this is how I deal with the hardships and the difficulties of life. I observe your precepts. This is what I'm known for, is obedience to your word. This is what I want to be known for. This is what I strive to be known for. This is who I am. I just trust you and your word. Because your word gives me strength. Your word gives me encouragement. Your word will never fail. You will always be faithful to your promises. And that's who I am. I trust you. Man, what a great encouragement. I needed this week, and I hope that you do too. And I hope you understand we're all going to face troubles. We live in a sin-sick world full of sin-sick people, and we is one of them. And there's always going to be troubles. There's always going to be opportunities for our anxiety and our mind to just begin to go nuts on us and start thinking just all kinds of crazy things. That's human nature. The unknown scares us to death. The what-ifs drive us insane. The only way to combat those things, the only way to keep peace in our heart and joy in our mind is to stay focused on God and His Word. Let His Word comfort us because He will never, ever not honor His Word. He will always be faithful to His Word. So comfort yourself with that. No matter what the problem, no matter what the situation, the Bible speaks to it in some way. And there's a word in there for you. And instead of running from God when trouble hits or running from God during anxiety or depression, run to His Word and embrace it. Comfort yourself with it. Strengthen yourself with it. God, I don't know, but you do, so I'm just going to be faithful. I'm just going to be faithful. I'm just going to be faithful. And I'm going to try and love this person. I'm going to try and be kind to this person. I'm not going to get on their level. God, I'm just going to let you handle it however you want to handle it. But I'm going to honor your word. And man, the peace that brings. And the opportunity for God to move in other people's lives that brings. Oftentimes we short circuit what God's trying to do in other people by the way we don't trust him. And we try and do things like we think it needs to be done, when we think it needs to be done. And tell them what we think about what they're doing. And we short circuit what God's trying to do in their life. All right? So trust him. Any thoughts? Let's pray. God, I'm so thankful. Thankful that